Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me now? So, students, are we ready? You ready to go get them? First, you got to take a nap this afternoon, right? Hey, listen, church. What a great event. Andrew and I are totally blessed to be able to pour into your sons and your daughters and your grandsons and your granddaughters. It really is a blessing for us. We've had so much fun doing this over the last year or so, and this weekend was really, really good. But we could not have done it without a lot of help. And so, listen, just real quick, since you know I'm up here, I'm going to go ahead and do this. But I am so thankful for a lot of you. Hillary Kerr is a huge help for the youth ministry. We could not do anything without her, honestly. And our staff, Michael Carpenter, of course, Andrew, Bill Britton, Dr. Kerr, and the support that Dr. Kerr gives us in the craziness of sometimes I know that we can be, he supports us 99% of the time. And so I'm so thankful for that. But listen, There are a lot of people that help with that. So listen, if you would, please stand if you are a small group leaders, incredible, incredible young adults. Please stand if you're a small group leader. If you are a host home, please stand. If you were on the meal team, if you helped with registration, okay, if you were in transportation, just stand up if you help D now, okay? Look, and I know that there are some that are probably working in other areas of the church right now that were not in here, but we could not have done it without you guys. And for the most part, every single person had a great attitude and loved those kids. And what was really cool was those kids loved them back. And so that says volumes for our youth group, and it's nothing that we've done. That is God working in our young people, that they are kind and they are compassionate and that they are courteous, because those are things that they're going to take with them the rest of their lives. Real quick, I am not going to be long, because not only do you need a nap, man, I'm ready to see my boy, and I'm ready to take a nap. So anyway, a couple hours and we'll be done here. Okay, so listen, here's a little bit of background of where we've been this weekend. You know, in session one, which was Friday night, we looked at how it's possible to be fearless in the face of our culture, where our culture is hostile toward the things of God. And so our speaker, Bill, put it this way last night: for us not to focus on the negative, but the positive, when we make a fearless stand. And all of us should be making a fearless stand. Listen, I am speaking to our youth, our students this morning, but it is for every single one of us. We're just going to recap a little bit, and I'm going to challenge them for this last main session. Our session two, which was yesterday morning, they learned that they can be fearless and stand for their faith, even though when it's not popular. And we all struggle with that. I know I struggle with that. And so that was huge for them to get the scriptures pouring into their lives concerning that. And they also found out how they can fearlessly pursue the big task that God sets in front of them. And that is huge, because all of us, especially them, and you can relate to that, adults, and when you were their age, thinking about the future, they don't have a clue, do they, what's around the corner. And there are going to be a ton of big tasks ahead of them. College decisions, boyfriend and girlfriend, husband and wife decisions, children. Can you imagine? I can't imagine some of you guys with children. Yeah. And then, so this morning, we're gonna finish off with just, hopefully we will walk out of here this morning with the understanding that we can be fearless in the face of tough times, because each and every one of us are going to face tough times at some point in time in our lives if we haven't already. And one thing before we begin, listen, a few things about fearless. Being fearless isn't always easy, okay? It's not always easy. And when you're fearless, it often requires great faith in God and His power to take care of us. Because I'm afraid of some things and live in fear of some things that I really have no control over. And so I've got to trust in God, and so should you. And when we fearlessly pursue the task God calls us to do, God will lead us to accomplishing that task. And that's what all of us should be living for. If we're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, we should have that vertical thing going on. And that should be our main goal in life, is to do exactly what God wants us to do, exactly when He wants to do it. So listen, let me pray for us, and we're going to dig in. God, we love You, and we thank You. I thank You so much for Andrew and our staff and our people that helped us. And Lord, I thank You for our students. And God, I pray, Lord, the things that they have gathered, the volume of information that they took in this weekend was like taking a drink from a fire hydrant. God, but I pray that the things that they need, God, just will rest in their heart. And Father, I pray as we finish today and they go home and they nap. God, when they awake and they hit the ground running tomorrow, God, that they will impact the kingdom in their schools, in their home, in their community. God, give us a desire to live a fearless life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, three quick points this morning. The first point is this: being fearless in our faith is going to cost us, okay? Here's a few details. We're gonna look at a passage in 2 Corinthians, if you want to turn there, chapter 11. But here's a few, I can't talk. Can I just take a nap now? Here's a few details of Paul's backstory. Most of you know that the Apostle Paul wrote 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. You know, he started out being a chief enemy of the church in Jerusalem. He was an interesting guy, really, because he was both a Jew and a Roman citizen, and he was an up-and-coming superstar in Jewish circles. And he came from a very, very, very prestigious lineage and studied under some of the best rabbis. So think of this picture of this guy, this super spiritual guy, right? He was so fanatical about his Jewish faith that he was the leading persecutor of Christians, and then all of that changed. On the way to imprison Christians in the city of Damascus, Paul encountered the risen Christ, who confronted and eventually converted him. And Paul would go on to be the main missionary to the Gentiles, traveling throughout Rome, the Roman Empire, to share the gospel and to start churches. And listen, don't think it was an easy path for Paul. Most of you know this. On these travels, he ran into quite a bit of opposition from those who were enemies of Christ. And listen, we're gonna look at this morning the effect that that opposition had an effect on Christ, okay? Or on Paul, excuse me. So let's dig in. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're gonna begin in verse 24 and read through 33, okay? Paul says this. Listen to this. What a life. Man, we have it easy. As Christians, we have it easy today. Listen to Paul. 5 times I received the 40 lashes minus 1 from the Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I have spent a night and a day in the open sea. On frequent journeys, I faced danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers at sea, and dangers among false brothers. Toil and hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, often without food, cold and without clothing. Not to mention other things, there is the daily pressure on me, my concern for all the churches. I wonder if any of us have that daily pressure and concern for the church like Paul had. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? If boasting is necessary, I will boast about my weaknesses. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is blessed forever, knows I am not lying. In Damascus, a ruler under King Aretas guarded the city of Damascus in order to arrest me. So I was let down in a basket through a window on the wall and escaped from his hands. So again, the first point, being fearless in our faith will cost us. If you look back over that list, just unpack it and let that sink in. Some of the stuff... Paul says, on frequent journeys, I face danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people. Not to mention, again, like I said earlier, there's the daily pressure on Paul. There was that daily pressure and his concern for all of the churches. Let that sink in, the persecution that he took and the troubles that Paul had. You know, that's what being fearless cost Paul. He met abuse at the hands that of those who did not want to hear him preach the gospel. And he met hardship because he faithfully traveled around the Roman Empire sharing Christ. He had even had some friends desert him. I wonder how many of us can say that. That we stood for Christ in a way and strong enough that we've had people actually break our friendship off because of our relationship with Christ. Paul was hungry. Paul was cold. Paul was tired. He experienced great pain. All because he was committed to living a fearless faith. Now listen, students. Listen, church. This level of hardship that Paul went through is not necessarily normal, nor is it ideal. Okay? No one is saying that this is somehow the measure of a fearless faith. And listen, I'm certainly not asking any one of you, nor am I urging any one of you, to seek out persecution. But listen, it's important to know that if we're truly living out a fearless faith, we're going to experience tough times. It's inevitable truth that if we live out a fearless faith, it will cost us. It costs people in the Bible. It has cost people throughout history. It costs people all around the world today. Living out a fearless faith costs something. But as we're going to see in our next point, it doesn't mean that we should shrink away from living a bold faith. Point number two, it's going to be quick today. I want it to sink in though. Students, listen. If you're living a fearless faith, it's got to cost you something. Okay? And it's going to cost you something. Being fearless is costly, but it's always worth it. Think about this. Knowing what Paul's faith had cost him, it would have been easy for him to be bitter, wouldn't it? Or to maybe walk away from Christ, or to just want to be done with it all. You think so? The interesting thing is that we don't see this from Paul at all. In fact, what we see is quite the opposite. If you would flip over to Philippians, a few pages down the road to chapter 1, verse 21. And we're gonna got another verse in a minute, and then we're gonna finish in Philippians. But here we see Paul is writing the Philippians while imprisoned in Rome. And think about this, he has been thrown in jail now. Okay, for preaching the gospel, and he's writing to the church in Philippi, letting them know that he is in prison, but otherwise he's okay. I don't know how you could ever be okay in prison. You have absolutely no freedom, but he was. And he was writing them to encourage them, okay? So Paul tells them this in Philippians 1, verse 21. He says, "For me, living is Christ, and dying is gain." One verse. One simple sentence. But can you imagine anything more profound coming from anyone's mouth? "For me, living is Christ and dying is gain." Again, at this point, all the awful stuff that Paul described in the Corinthian passage that we just looked at, okay, all that had already happened. All right? Paul has already experienced a tremendous amount of pain and discomfort for the gospel. And on top of that, he's writing from jail. So yet Paul can make the statement that the aim of his entire existence is Jesus Christ. For Paul, the object of living was simple. It was Jesus. All of Paul's hope and all of Paul's faith and all of Paul's hope, I said that twice, didn't I? Was in Jesus. And dying would be nothing but gain because it would bring him face to face with the Lord. And what an amazing statement. I'm thinking that Paul had the inside track on the rewards of living out a fearless faith. What about you? Paul teaches us that no matter how tough it gets, living out a fearless faith is always worth it. Knowing God and serving God and being known by God in return is the most rewarding thing that there is. It may cost us to live our faith out in the boldness, but listen, it is worth it. Students, do not hesitate to live a fearless life in faith and in hope. Listen, even when you get ridiculed, church, even when you feel left out because people actually leave you out, even when you don't feel like it's worth it, listen, He will provide. It is. You've got to take that step of faith and go where God leads, no matter what you have to pay for that, no matter the cost. It may cost us again to live our faith out in boldness, but it's worth it. What we're about to see in this in just a few minutes is not only is it worth it, but we may actually come to know Christ more and on a deeper level in the midst of living fearlessly through tough times. Let me read a scripture from Galatians 2, verse 20. Listen to what Paul says in this verse. He says this, Galatians 2:20, "And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, the literal translation of what Paul is communicating here in Philippians 1 is talking about coexisting with Christ. It's literally a life lived in union with Jesus. And Paul reaffirms that in this verse in Galatians, okay? The life where Paul lived for himself and his own interests, it's over. What about our lives? Do we live for our own interests? Students, are you out for yourself or are you out for the kingdom? Think about that this morning. Paul's life, that old life where he lived for himself, that was crucified. Is yours? In its place is a life where God and his ways live in and through the Apostle Paul. This is exactly, students, the life that we're called to live. That is what fearless faith looks like. Paul's faith and Paul's hope were in Christ and Christ alone. Think about Paul's life and all that he had gone through. And I want you to think about your life. Maybe the lack of persecution. Maybe it's because people don't know you have a relationship with Christ. I don't know. Think about your life for a second, okay? We're going to listen to a song. And I want to challenge you with this. I want you to think about this. Is your faith and your hope in Christ alone?
I've been healed by just breaks a man. it showed me what it means to be a man. And told my hope is in Jesus. Thank God that yesterday's gone. And told my sins are forgiven. And
thank you, Andrew. That's pretty cool, wasn't it? Have you been washed in the blood? Is all your hope in Jesus? Does that song make sense for some of you today? Listen, that leads us to our third point, being fearless in the face of times, in the face of tough times. It leads us closer to Christ, and that's what it's all about. Scripture is very clear. Life isn't easy, you guys, but if we live it together, together, students, we are a family. Church, we are a family. When we live it together and our focus is on Him, we can't go wrong. Our hope has got to be in Jesus Christ. Here we see Philippians 3. Go to Philippians 3 real quick. Verses 7 through 11. This is what Paul says. He says, but everything that was gained to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and considered them filth, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. So listen, here we see Paul expressing a concept that is really fitting for us to focus on as we kind of wrap up our weekend. And such a powerful truth for living a fearless faith in the midst of a world that is opposed to God and his ways. Paul says in verse 7 and 8 that no matter what he had lost in his pursuit of Christ, again, that it was okay. In fact, he goes a step further here. He says that anything is lost is actually gain. Why? Why do you think he said that? Because in suffering, Paul has come to know and understand Christ better. Paul's hope is in Jesus. In suffering for the gospel, Paul can relate to what Jesus experienced on this earth. And this fact draws Paul closer to God, enriching his faith in the process. And that's our goal. When we're going through times of struggles and times of broken marriages and times of wayward children, none of you are wayward, are you? Times of struggle and pain and suffering. Listen, we can't go to a bottle. We can't go to a book. We can't go to a television show. We've got to go to the one and only person that can help us. We've got to go to Christ. Look, there are 12-step processes that are absolutely no good if Christ is not at the center. Put your hope and your faith in Jesus like Paul did. A faith that never cost you anything is not a faith that looks like the faith lived out by the people, again, in the Bible. It's not the kind of faith that Paul lived. A faith that cost you something that is difficult at times is faith that puts you squarely in line with Jesus and his plan for your life. And as Christians, that's the only thing we should be after in life is, Jesus, what do you want me to do today? Where do you want me to go tomorrow? That should be our main purpose for living, is going where he leads. By fearlessly pursuing Jesus, no matter the cost, you will be more aligned with Jesus and His mission for your life. You will experience Jesus in a much richer way, and your life will be changed as a result. So listen, we're going to close. But I want to encourage you students to take the truths that you have learned this weekend concerning living a fearless life in Christ and apply them. I hope that that little student guide that we give you is something that you will carry with you for the rest of your life. Because fear is real. Fear is relevant. And the only way to fight those fears is to allow Jesus to mold you and make you into the person that God, that He wants you to be. You've seen through the Scriptures how it's possible to be fearless in the face of a culture that is so hostile toward God. You've learned that you can fearlessly stand for your faith regardless of who opposes you, and you're going to face opposition. And you've learned that you can, through the Apostle Paul today, you know that you can be fearless in the face of tough times, just like he did. The invitation's simple today. As if you haven't done business with the Lord already, if there's more to do, take care of business today. Don't walk out that door if you're still living in fear of something. The altar's open. Come down and pray. If you want to pray with somebody in the pew, that's fine. Pastor Kerr and I will be down. If there's somebody here that still, after the weekend, still has not taken that step of faith and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe today's the day. I don't want to manipulate you or make you do something that God doesn't want you to do, but why wouldn't He? It's up to you to take that step of faith and put your hope in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you. Thank you for the Apostle Paul. Thank you for the picture that he paints in the New Testament of a man of God that faced tough times and Lord, got through those tough times by your grace and your mercy. And I pray that that grace and mercy will fall down on us today. Father, we love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If I could ask for all of our small group leaders, come down here for a second, please. If there's business that needs to be taken care of, you guys, students, hit your small group leaders up this morning.
If you would please stand. Sing and respond to the Lord this morning. As the Lord spoke to hopefully each of us about being fearless in our own lives.
Are you hurting, broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. Sorrows and trails.